Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Yes, sir, just gone 7:18 Central African time. And I can tell you already having a great morning in your pious and sagacious company. And at that time of the morning, the 6-meter waves or 8-meter waves and inclement weather have ensured that Adam Kamda has no other choice but to come on radio, but to go and broadcast to the four corners of the globe of the inclement weather, of the spring tide, the neap tide, and this tide, and all the tides. But whatever the tides, woe be tides. No one was going to go into the sea this morning. Adam Kamda, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome to your segment, Fishing with Adam. How are you doing this morning, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafaat. Yes, I could have launched at 6 a.m. this morning, but I chose to stay landbound so I can be on air with my good friend Shafaat and come live to all the listeners. As you know, there's been some quite hectic weather along the southern parts of KZN. Down PE way, there's I saw swell forecast of 12 meter swells out deep at sea. Onshore, a swell forecast around 5 meters. I've seen video footage of storm surges in Stillby and Gordon's Bay with some incredible damage being done to pedestrians, vehicles, bridges. So really quite a nasty day on the coastline, Shafaat. But I'm still going fishing. We're not going to go deep sea today. We'll just spend a few hours in the harbor. So directly after this show, I'm off to the water, Shafaat.
Well, I tell you, those 10 million fans of yours are happy that you talk to them every Sunday morning. And alhamdulillah, talking about, the different types of tides that's coming. But the waves are quite big. According to sources, they'll be from 6 to 8 meters. Any truth in that, Adam?
Yes, Shafaat, I looked at the forecast yesterday on WindGuru and it showed 5.2 meter swells for Durban. And here in the basin area where I'm looking out from Ushaka area up towards Blue Lagoon, it's pretty sheltered by the harbor entrance. The harbor entrance pier goes out a few hundred meters and gives us a certain protection here. But there's like about 50 surfers out here all anticipating those big swells, so they're enjoying the morning already. As the tide pushes out, the swells will get bigger. But further down from the bluff area, I can see past the piers, and I can see that there are huge swells lifting up with the light southwesterly wind. It's giving it a good shape, and the coast is getting pounded from the bluff all the way south of us.
Now, Adam, people know it's a spring tide. It's quite a dangerous time to be on the shorelines of the Indian Ocean. But why do you find these guys, they tempt faith, F-A-T-E, Adam?
Hey, Shafaat, I think sometimes it's the lack of knowledge, because if you're following social media closely, you'll see reports of that huge cold front coming through from Cape Town towards Durban. You'll see reports of an earthquake that took place, I think, yesterday off Madagascar. And you'd know that it's a new moon, which means it's spring tide, meaning you get the higher high tides and the lower low tides. So all these factors, come together and create really unique weather. It's what causes the storm surges that's hitting Stillby and Gordon's Bay at the moment. And we can possibly get big swells and some damaging waves reaching us in Durban as well. So it's important to be aware. It's important to be knowledgeable. It's important to understand these phenomena, so you can make an informed choice in your choice of sport, whether to go or not to go. As we speak, I can see canoes paddling happily out at sea. As I mentioned, there's lots of surfers on the water already. There are a few charter boats out at sea, but I've spoken to a couple that have come back already, saying that the swells don't look so bad from the shore, but they really are quite huge out at sea, and they've decided to turn back and fish in the harbor instead.
Well, I'm going to read Adam's mind, people. Yeah, wait. I'm just trying. This is, what they call this, telepathy. Yeah, I got it right. Okay, I got it, Boniface. I'm right into his brain. Adam's mind is saying, be cautious around the ocean today. Rather come shopping. Now, Adam, your bar blood comes out there. You're a top businessman, right? That's a bar way of talking. Hey, man. Hey, bar, come shopping. Don't go to the bad weather and all. Come and shop at my... Tell me, what's the special at Township, with all your fishing tackles and all? Have you got something like, new and extraordinary, Adam?
Yo, Shafar, don't get me started. It is such an exciting time in the retail fishing. As I mentioned a month ago, we visited the fishing trade show in Johannesburg and had privy to all the new tackle that's being launched. And as the weeks go by, more items are landing and being distributed to all the shops. Just yesterday, we received the Wave Off Reel by Okuma. It's a limited edition designer reel. Okuma is really up the game by producing these limited edition series. Usually, it's 1,000 reels that they produce for worldwide distribution. In South Africa, I think we may only get about 60 or 80 allocated for the entire country. Each reel is has a unique number. So this really has become a collector series. And I've got some customers who make sure that they get one of every one that they launch. They make sure they acquire one, whether it's for the show cabinet or even for using at sea. Some customers are more possessive over the collector's items and keep them in mint condition, Shafar.
Well, I just talk about the mint condition. And, you know, you have many, many friends. So how many of them, you know, every time they catch a fish, they say, hey, Adam, I caught this, I caught that. I mean, I know some of your friends say, hey, Adam, I caught a brusher. I'm going to cook a lucker, you know, fish curry. How many do that, Adam?
You know, Shafar, previously, when you catch a prize fish, you know, just your close friends get to see it. But now with social media, you know, you can take a picture while you're on the beach and post it, and everyone can congratulate you and be happy for you. And we have this every day, and I absolutely love receiving photos of my customers and friends catching prize fish and posting, even if it's not a personal best, even if it's the beginning of the season, like my good friend Tony Moon. You know, he's an avid garrick angler. His first few garrick he posts pictures of, and then now he's caught his first brusher. My friend Mohammed Bilal, I think, just posted yesterday or this morning his first brusher for the season. So it's really exciting to be able to share this information, to share the happiness and joy of successful anglers. And it also gives you tips, Shafar, of what fish are biting for this season. So, you know, when it comes to fishing, it's not just the luck of the draw or the luck of throwing, casting a line out and accepting whatever comes. You know, you need to understand the season, what type of fish will be biting. Then you adapt your trace and your rod and your line, etc., to match that type of fish to entice the bite and to give you a sporting chance of actually landing the fish that bite.
Now, I tell you what, Adam, I know you put your lucky gel on, you put your spiky hair on. But something happened. Something happened. You won an award this week, and you don't want to tell anyone. That is Adam Kamta. Such a humble guy. Tell us. I mean, you deserve that award, too. What was it all about, Adam? And it was
yes, Shafar. I was quite surprised to get a call from Reggie, our rep at the Rising Sun. And he invited me to this prestigious function that they hosted at the Rising Sun building. And I must say, the Rising Sun has done so much for the community and has been so prominent that the street that the printing press is based in has actually been renamed from Peak Street to the Rising Sun Street. So they really have made huge strides over the decades that they've been in operation. We've been advertising with them every week for many, many years. They're way over 20 years, Shafar. And they are, you know, pretty much a huge factor in the success of our business as well. So the function that they had was to honor the advertisers through a competition where the readers actually vote for the different categories. And in Amstadt Rosana, two shops were voted in. One was for the best seafood shop, that was the United Fish and Meat, and the other was for the best fishing tackle shop, and that was Township Hyper.
Well, I hope in your shop you put the Catch Adam Live every Sunday from 7:15 to 7:45, www.markussahaba.co.za. I hope you put that in your shop, because you know what? It's a segment that no one should be missing. Everyone that listens to you, hey, they feel the ocean and the motion. Talk to me about the yellowtail kingy. You know, it's somewhere, it's playing a lot on the south coast, and I believe lots of garricks are coming. But describe this yellow-tailed tingi to us, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, this is an online radio station, and I'm really, really surprised as to how many people actually tune in and listen to the show. I often get customers come up to me and say, hey, I listen to your show on a Sunday morning, and, you know, it's really informative, and it's so heartwarming, Shafat, you don't really know how many people are listening in, and it's really gathering quite a following. Talking about Yellowtail, our two trips ago, Skulk and I were out at sea, and we were trying for bonitos at number one. We managed to hook quite big fish. The one that I pulled quite close to the boat and just had a glimpse of looked like a yellowtail. It was longer than a bonito, and it seemed to have some yellow color near the tail, but it was unfortunately eaten by a shark. And that morning, every fish was eaten by shark. We went out fishing on Friday morning, Shafar, that's just a couple of days ago. The entire week was blown out, but they looked like a nice weather gap Friday morning. So we went out south to an area called Church Grounds. Fishing wasn't that great, but we managed to come back with a few reds, and we even caught some sugar mackerel on our bottom traces, which is actually quite unusual because these fish normally only bite on small hooks, but we managed to get them on our bottom traces. But even with a small catch apart, those reds made a lovely fry for the evening. We had fish and chips, and Novi took the sugar mackerel home. There were about four large ones, and he said he'll smoke it. And I'll keep that for the end of the show, Shafat. I'll share with you how to smoke sugar mackerel.
Well, people, you're going to have a smoked sugar mackerel. No, not smoking that thing, brother. You'll smoke it. Yeah, smoke it, that. Yeah, in the smoke, like smoked salmon. Well, Adam, they talk about moonlight netted at MSM Toti. Now, people say, hey, moonlight, that's at night. I know moonlight on the, you know, on the surface of the sea. But talk about these moonlights. What are they that was netted at MSM Toti? Is it something like a quarantine, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, this year the sighting run has extended quite far, you know, past winter. I think it was about a week ago or 10 days ago, there were sightings netted at Toti. There are a couple boats that operate. One of them is Moonlight, the other is Full Up 3. Full Up 3, I know, is skippered by Ghulam, and I think he's got a license to net throughout the year. So if they're not netting for sardines in the sardine run, then they often try for other fish like red-eye sardine or mass bunker, which they can sell, you know, to the fishing tackle industry to be used as bait, Shafat.
Well, I'm looking at a message on the screen, and it's Ayub. He says, Assalamu alaikum. I really enjoy your program, the Brew Chef, but this fishing segment with Adam is also world-class. I want to know from Adam, how do fishermen buy the bait? Do they buy a little at a time, or do they buy a lot and store in the freezers? Because I say this, load shedding, maybe they are sharp. They buy a little at a time, or are they still buying big stocks? Adam, that's a very good observation from Ayub. Your thoughts?
Yes, Shafat, that's a very interesting question because as a fishing tackle dealer, I had to make a call during the sardine run of whether to keep my coal room fully stocked or whether to let the stocks deplete. Because logically, you find the anglers going down to the beach following the sardine run, and when there's an abundance of sardines, especially if the sardines are netted in the afternoon towards the evening, there's very few buyers, and the netters actually get stuck with the stock, and they don't have the facility to keep it overnight. So they really have to flog them at low prices, like maybe 200 rand a crate or 150 rand a crate. And you would anticipate that avid anglers would go down to the beach and buy these crates of sardines for like 150 rand a crate, whereas normally you'd pay 150 rand just for 5 kilos of frozen sardine. So here you have an abundance of sardine. You can bring it home. You can freeze them up. And, you know, you could use them for the next few months. So as a tackle dealer, I'd anticipate, oh, you know what, demand will be low, you know, for the next month at least, could even be 2 months or 3 months. But the opposite is true, Shafat, because think about it. If you go down to the beach and bring an entire crate of sardines home and show it to your wife, yeah, darling, I'm going to keep this in the freezer. She'll give you some very sideways looks and say, you're not putting that stinky sardine into my freezer with all my samosas and pies and my meat. Take that away and go and do something with it, you know. So you'd find that the Angles don't stock up too much in the freezers. And as you mentioned, another factor is load shedding. If we have extended hours of load shedding, you know, it can jeopardize any frozen stuff that you have, you know, in your fridge or freezer, Shafat. So it's business as usual. Customers love to come in and buy smaller quantities. They'll buy a kilo or two, you know, for a day's fishing, or they'll buy 5 kilo if they're sharing it amongst friends, Shafat.
Well, I know most of the fishermen, they do have a fridge, outside in the garage or somewhere, because the wife said, put all your dirty things there. For them, it's dirty, but for the fisherman, that is prized possession. That's his pride and joy, because that is when he gets the most joy. I mean, I'm sure the most happiest moment for all fishermen is when they're in the ocean and there's a motion and the reel is flying and there's a bite on the line, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, fishing is fishing, and that's what keeps it exciting. Last week, Tuesday, I went out and caught some fantastic Englishmen. So this previous trip on Friday morning, I took Novi and Skulk out, and I really wanted to put Novi onto a big Englishman. But the fish were just not cooperating. We fished the same spots. We worked the way back from church grounds towards the bluff and tried all the spots along the way, and they just were not cooperating. You'd get the one or two bites, but they just would not cooperate. So that's the lure of fishing. You know, you can't say, I'm an expert, I'm going to go out and catch every single time. You know, the ocean humbles you. You've got to respect it. And that's why a day like today, Shafat, you know, you've got to be aware of the weather. And don't say, you know, I'm a cowboy, I'm going out, whether it's big swells or not, I can handle it. You really have to be practical. And that's why I've opted not to go out to sea today. We'll spend a lovely, relaxing day in the harbor and target some snapper salmon in the harbor, Shabbat.
Tawfiq says, Assalamu alaikum, Abru Chef. Me, you, Adam, RB, Munim, and Salot, we're in one class. You remember me. I'm Tawfiq the man. I was a top guy too. But I want to know from Adam, what is the fastest fish on the ocean? Is it the barracuda or the shark? I like fast things. And Chef, when I was a lighty, my favorite car was a barracuda. Adam, how do you respond to my classmate Tawfiq here?
Yes, Shafat, barracuda are noted to be very fast swimming, especially when they're attacking their prey. But I think amongst anglers, we all know the wahoo to be one of the fastest swimming fish in the ocean. Very often when boats are moving from spot to spot, they are doing speeds of up to 12 to 14 knots. And if you put a lure out with a wire trace and troll at these high speeds, Shafat, you know, you often can attract the wahoo bite. So it's a pretty much known fact amongst anglers that the wahoo is about the fastest fish in the ocean, Shafat.
This is a message from Rashid. He says, Assalamu alaikum. Lovely show indeed, Brother Shafat. Ask Adam, how is the harbor? Is it cleared out? Is it good for fishing? And I'm wondering if those grunters are compromised. Did they eat so much of that other thing, Adam? Adam, how do you respond to Rashid here?
Yes, Shafat. From my knowledge, I've seen lots of anglers resuming fishing in the harbor. The water has pretty much cleaned up a lot. But it's not perfect. The authorities still have a lot of work to do to maintain the pumps and, you know, overflows and spills. But it's a lot cleaner than it was, say, 6 months ago, Shafat.
Well, Jazakallah khairan for that, Adam. And, you know, as families used to go out for picnicking or sit at the esplanade and look at the, you know, ships coming in and that. But many recently have complained about a foul smell coming through. I mean, with this rain coming and perhaps spring in the air, will there be a change in the ocean or even the change in the type of fish that we'll be getting during spring, Adam?
Yes, Shafat. As you know, we've been starting to target bonitos again. That's a summer fish. So it's a sign that, you know, the winter fish is coming to an end and the summer fish will start. We'll get a lot of kingfish, amberjacks. And then on the game fishing side, you'll get the tuna biting and especially Dorado. I absolutely love targeting Dorado. They are such acrobatic fighters. They often take your bait and jump up into the air and do a lot of theatrics. So, and they make very good eating as well, Shafat. So I'm really keen for the summer fish to come on the bite and make our early morning trips just for a couple hours with trolling a few corners behind the boat and catch a few Dorado and come back and maybe get them fried up. Dried up or even smoked, Shafat.
Well said there, Adam. And looking at a message here from Yaqub says, enjoying the show as usual, Brew Chef. Got some extra bucks in the bank and I'm wondering if I must invest it in a nice boat. But I want to know from Adam, how do I keep the boat afloat? And is it cheap to maintain one, say, a 6-foot one? Adam, how do you respond to Yaqub here?
Yes, Shafad, there are many options available to us to get on the sea at the moment, Shafad. You know, very often you find anglers working their way up from catching the tiniest fish on the shore to targeting the big GTs, giant trevallies, and garrick, etc. from the shore. Then they get bored with fishing from land-based and they want to move onto the water. The first step is to get onto a kayak. That's the cheapest and easiest way to get in, but it does require a certain skill level and a certain fitness level to be on the water on a kayak. I have the utmost respect for kayak anglers paddling through big surf and enduring strong currents at sea, catching good fish, and then paddling their way back to shore. The next step up would be to get on a jet ski, and the jet ski has so many advantages, Shafad. Where it's motorized, it's easier to launch through the surf. You know, you don't have to rely on crew to join you for a day's fishing. You go out, you enjoy yourself, you come back, you beach, and often at the club, they'll have people to assist you to retrieve the jet ski onto the trailer, wash it up, and then either head back to work or take your jet ski home. The next step up would be to buy a boat, Shafad, and that's the most expensive of the other options. But it also enables you to be able to fish with company. So if you've got friends that fish with you regularly, you can go out 2 up, 3 up, or even 4 up and enjoy the moment, sharing the moment, catching your big fish. You are able to reach further grounds on a boat because the boats have a much bigger range than the jet skis or the paddle skis. But obviously, the cost goes up. Your fuel costs, your insurance costs, your mooring costs, your maintenance costs. There's lots of costs involved in running a boat, Shafad. So as long as you're passionate about it, you know, you wouldn't mind spending all that money. And it really brings a lot of satisfaction owning a boat and being able to share the passion of fishing out at sea, Shafad.
Now, Adam, you know, like you and I are brews. You're my lighty brew, right? I'm thinking here deeply. You know, people now say, hey, there's a big fish. I'm not talking about fish in the sea. Reckon Adam. Reckon why? No, you know, Adam got a big boat. He's got this. Let's get Pally with him so he can take us on his boat. Like some associations and some, maybe they say, hey, Adam, either, oh. But, you know, you got, they don't know how sharp you are because you're sharper than the shark and you look at them and say, hey, I know this, oh, is like a Matlab Ali. Talk to me about that phenomenon. Adam, talk to me about that phenomenon. Unfortunately, you know, the world has gone very lopsided. Talk to me.
Yes, Shafad, you do have a lot of people that just try and make excuses to try and get onto the boat and want to go out fishing. And they never dip into the pocket, you know, to share in the fuel cost, etc. On the other hand, on my boat, I take so much of pleasure in taking people out fishing with me, and I don't even ask them to contribute, or I don't expect them to contribute towards the fuel. It's my way of being hospitable, and I really love you know, sharing the passion and sharing the experience, especially to people who've never been out to sea, people who are beginner fishermen. To give them that first experience of a deep sea trip, whether it's just catching, you know, small bonitos or targeting amberjacks or GTs, or whether they want to try different styles of fishing, whether it's slow pitch jigging, trawling, or even bottom fishing, Shafad. It's my way of giving back and being hospitable at the same time, Shafad.
Well, if you know, Adam didn't ask you for anything. He's giving you sadaqa. Yeah. You're giving a smile and you say, that's my sadaqa to you. Adam, you know, I'm looking at this message. It made me smile here. Babu says, Adam Kamda, you are tops. I know about pink salmon and other salmon, but the Daga salmon, I wouldn't chow that. Even if I didn't chow it, the name Daga puts me out of appetite. You know, that's a very good question, Adam. You think, hey, this thing is only eating Daga. Talk to us about the Daga salmon, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, that name may be a little bit off-putting. If you think of the word Daga, it refers to mud. You'd expect this fish to be bottom-dwelling and gulping mouthfuls of mud to extract the worms from it. But it's not quite the case, Shafad. These are very clean fish, free-swimming. They often congregate on reefs, feed on squids, shellfish, prawns, sardines, and they are one of the prized fish for anglers to catch. So when we go deep sea fishing, we target specific reefs where we know that they congregate on. They usually bite at night, and you'd be targeting salmon in general. And the two predominant species of KZN is the Heelbeck salmon and the Daga salmon. The Daga salmon seems to be the bigger of the breed. So you would get fish from ranging from like 15 kilos up to 30 kilos. And the Heelbeck salmon average weight would be like from around 5 to 12 kilos, Shabbat.
Now, Jazakallah Khaira for sharing that. I think it's a Pingo Beach. I remember when I was a lighty. And there was this very famous fisherman, they called him Bobby. And, you know, he caught this Daga salmon. It was like, it must have been 50 to 60 kgs. I'm sure. And these fishermen of yesteryear were really strong. They carried it from there and they brought it. And I think they used to share it with all family members. So a Daga or Daga salmon can grow up to 70 kgs there, Adam.
Yes, they are huge fish. Apart that species must be quite an old fish. I think that's where the hesitation comes from eating Daga salmon, Shafar, because some of the bigger fish, they're considered to be overgrown and might even have worms in them. So a lot of anglers, if they catch a really huge fish, they actually release it, to fight another day. But it's usually the mid-sized fish in the species that makes very good table fish, Shafar.
You know, we learned so much from you on this segment, Adam. And, like a fisherman now, he knows, hey, this is too big and, maybe it's carrying something in it and worms and so forth. Jazakallah for conscientizing us there. Your recipe this morning, everyone is ears, Adam.
Yes, Shafar, it's really quite a simple recipe. I personally didn't know how to smoke, so Novi talked me through the process. So you start off with, for example, the mackerel that we caught. You cut it and you fillet it. In Novi's case, he butterflied it. Then on the braai, you would basically light some coals and push them to one side of the braai stand. Like a Weber braai is ideal, where you can cover it so the smoke can infuse into the fish. The fish itself, you brine it first, which means you take a plastic tray, you sprinkle on some salt, you lay your fillets on the salt, and you sprinkle more salt on top of that and leave it for about 5 minutes. And you'd find it draws out some of the moisture and the water from the fish fillets. Then you use cold water, you rinse the salt off, and you pat it dry with some paper towels. Then on the braai, you place a sheet of foil, you oil it, you can add your fillet onto that and pour, drizzle a little bit of olive oil on top of the fillet as well. And then you can season it with the seasoning of your choice. A good choice would be freshly cracked black pepper and some chili flakes. And that's simple seasoning like that. And so the fish has to be actually placed on the opposite side of the coals, so you don't get direct heat. It's cooked by indirect heat. And then you'd add your wood chips, your hard wood chips, which you can get from any camping store, onto the smoldering coals, and that's what causes the smoking effect. Then you close the lid and you let it smoke for about 10 minutes, and it's done. And it's an absolutely superb way to eat fish, Shabbat.
Superb indeed, a smoked mackerel from our very own Adam Kamda. Adam, your parting words this morning?
Yes, I'd just love to wish my dad everything of the best. He's on Umrah at the moment, and he'll be traveling all the way to Durban tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a long, tiring day of traveling. So I'd like everyone to make dua for his safe return, and missing him stacks. And inshallah, all his du'as will be answered. Thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Salams to you and the listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.